Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Welcome, my friends, to the Wednesday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. If you would like to be on the program today, 800-848-9222 is, of course, the number to reach us. 800-848-9222. Plenty of news, as always. Fannie Willis's Da Fannie is back in the news today. We'll visit that in a little bit. There's also some immigration news that we need to catch up on. And all sorts of news stories that, interesting here and there. There is a bill that I found, it's never going to pass. This is one of those things that's done for laughs and for theater in Congress. But I did chuckle at it. There is a bill that has been introduced by Representative Andy Ogless of Tennessee. Ogless of Tennessee, and also Randy Weber of Texas, and Jeff Duncan of South Carolina. The bill, this is never going to see the light of day. They, even if they vote on it in the House, it'll die in the Senate. It won't even be looked at in the Senate. A new House Republican bill would send any person charged and convicted for illegal activity on a college campus to Gaza for at least 6 months. While the bill does not mention Israel or the anti-Israel group, it specifically targets unlawful activity on college campuses after October 7th. 2023, when Hamas militants invaded Israel, of course, in that surprise attack. The bill says that if, you get caught up, in some illegal activity on campus, go to trial, they convict you, you go to Gaza for a minimum of 6 months to do community service. One of the congressmen that came up with this bill says, if you support a terrorist organization, you participate in unlawful activity on campus, you should get a taste of your own medicine. I'm going to bet that these pro-Hamas supporters wouldn't last a day, but let's give them an opportunity. It's good for a chuckle. It'll never happen, but a good idea. Trouble today at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, where they learn how to take part in the retail, the clothing market, all fashion, tomorrow's fashionistas. An anti-Israeli encampment at the Fashion Institute of Technology in Manhattan was cleared away last night after dozens of protesters were arrested. New York City police officers in riot helmets with the new zip tie handcuff thing went into the crowd of hundreds just 10 minutes after announcing that those who failed to vacate the West 27th Street campus would be charged with trespassing. They ended up arresting some. No indications on what these kids were wearing, whether they were decked out, since they are going to the Fashion Institute. There are some stories that are, by the way, let me remind you right now to stick around. In our first break today, we're going to have Noam Layden with Road to the Election. And I find this is going to be interesting. I'm going to be listening intently to this one. There's a candidate that's running on the Libertarian Party. His name is Chase Oliver. Now, Chase Oliver says that he doesn't want to be a spoiler, but But, and this is what I find interesting, I'd love to get your point of view on this. He does want to end the two-party system in this country. He wants two-party rule to come to an end. Noam Layden will have that in the upcoming edition of Road to the Election. We'll usually hear that in our first break. So that should come up in about 10 minutes or less. Road to the Election with Noam Layden. And I would love to know this. Is it time? Everyone's saying now we have the uniparty. The uniparty. There's no difference between them both. Of course, this idea that there should be a third party has been floating around for decades. And generally, third parties, a third party run doesn't do anything but give us a winner in one of the other two parties. But is it seriously time for a new political party or parties where we're not just, and how would that happen, where we get a stronger third party? Robert Kennedy's is being ridiculed, mocked by Jack Schlossberg. He's the grandson of former President Kennedy, going after his cousin. He called his cousin an unkind word that starts with a P, but it's the male version, not the, you know, like when you do that, you have a pin or something and you prick your finger with it or something. Yeah. He said voters would be throwing away their vote this fall because Kennedy supports former President Trump. He impersonated a Massachusetts man named Jimmy. A lot of people are talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says, you know, I'm a fan of his father. You know, his uncle, rest in peace. I remember where I was the day he was killed. I mean, it was a tragic day. The entire country wept. But listen, that guy, he's a P-word. The new guy, the young guy, he's a friggin' P-word. And he says Kennedy goes way freaking back with Trump. He went on to highlight the economy, climate, action, civil rights under the Biden administration. Another Kennedy with his nose up the Biden butt, knocking his own family. Never seen anything like it. These Kennedys are going all out. And Robert Kennedy has the class, Robert Kennedy Jr., at least he has the class and the decency not to respond with all the abject hate that he's getting from the Baston Kennedy clan. He's not reacting to it negatively. He said the other day he loves his family. Well, it's clear that they don't really care for him very much, or at least that's the impression that they give. So there's that. There's a big free speech thing that's going on here. Today is the day. I talked about this story earlier in the week. It is, and this could be a game changer for the nation. There is a measure that is before the California Supreme Court that would allow taxpayers to have a voice in their taxation, a ballot initiative. The Democrat Party as a whole, the unions, other activists in the Democrat Party, the big union bosses, and of course, the political class are upset because what this measure would call for is for tax increases to be voted on by the people. It is a direct-to-people democracy vote that's being asked for. Hey, if people want taxes, if this government, if the Democrats that run California want to impose these ridiculous taxes, they have to go to the people first and get the permission of the people that are going to pay the taxes. The Democrats are adamant that this thing should fail, but it looks like there's a split. Politico reports today that California Supreme Court justices sounded split over top Democrats' pleas to nix a ballot measure amendment that would make it harder to pass new taxes before it goes to voters in November. They don't even want this thing to be voted on. They want to kill it. They don't want voters to even say, yes, we would like the opportunity to vote on our own taxes. Democrats, labor unions, activists are dead set against the people of California have any voice at all in the taxation. The clash. Well, let me go back further into the story. An attorney for Governor Gavin Newsom, and other Democratic leaders argued during the hearing today that the court has to move quickly to prevent widespread disruption. Oh, no. Our lives will be disrupted if voters even approve it. If voters say yes, oh, no, government will be disrupted. The clash before California's highest court reflects the extraordinary stakes of a standoff that has drawn into the state's most powerful elected officials and political players. Gavin Newsom and legislative leaders' effort to block the measure has drawn support from big labor unions, big city mayors, local governments, the people that spend the money, the people that have out-of-control spending, and their allies in unions are demanding that the people of California, no, do not let these people have any stake at all. No decision in whether they should pay higher taxes. Keep that power in the Democrat Party. Oh, man. Thomas Hiltichik, who was arguing on behalf of the initiative's proponents, warned the court that they should not be making political judgment. This is a ballot initiative. It should go before the people. Justices on the court question if the balance of power is immutable. What is the significance of the legislature having this power as opposed to sharing this power with the electorate? Why would that be such a major transformation? That is asked one of the justices, Goodwin Liu. Why shouldn't the people have a say? Let's put that in just common terms. Why shouldn't the people that are being charged outrageous taxes have a say, a voice in whether these tax bills go through? Why is it that Democrats are demanding all of the Democrat Party and their union flacks are demanding all of the power to keep to themselves so that they can pose just like royalty, just like monarchs. They want total control over how much the peasants have to pay in taxes. If this thing passes, this is one of the few times I would just salute something in California as being visionary and a direction that should spread to other states. Interesting to see how the judges rule on this. Former Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. You know, your friend, your buddy, Paul Ryan, is saying things again. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan said Tuesday that he does not plan to vote for former President Trump in November, suggesting he would write in another candidate instead. Character is too important to me. And it's a job that requires the kind of character that he just doesn't have. Having said that, I really disagree with President Biden on policy. I wrote in a Republican the last time. I'm going to write a Republican this time. Oh, good for you, Paul Ryan. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Here's another case. Yeah, you can go ahead and hit the music. Go ahead, Carla. Hit the music. You know you want to shut me up. Just hit the music. Hit the music. Come on, let it play. This is probably... Who is this? This is Jump. Yeah. Van Halen. I'll just do the story when we get back. Yes, yes, yes. Birthday. Alex Van Halen, Dutch-American musician, drummer, co-founder of Van Halen. He's become an ordained minister. He presided at the wedding of his brother, Eddie Van Halen, back in 2009. The WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden, Bo Snerdly with you. Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. Keep it right here, my friends. Do not go away.
Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on 77 WABC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Birthday today. Philip Bailey. American singer, songwriter. Came to fame with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Of course, he's had a brilliant solo career and runs a foundation that is really trying to do good works, helping children through the most difficult passages of their lives, children that would otherwise be left by the wayside. Philip Bailey, we've interviewed him twice. Just a wonderful guy. Of course, this is his big duet with Phil Collins, Phil and Phil, back in 1985. This one went to number one. Might play a little bit of Earth, Wind later. Phil Bailey, happy birthday today from us at WABC. Oh, this a quick note, ladies and gentlemen. Got some news from across the pond. Yeah, some news from across the pond. You see, it turns out that AstraZeneca, you know, the big pharma people, those people, well, they have pulled their COVID vaccination from the European market. What? Yes, it's still, I mean, United States of America is still here. You can go get jabbed with an AstraZeneca vaccine if you want here. But they said to Europe, we're going to pull this. They asked if they could get it out of the market. And they said, yeah, I wonder why. They had doubts, you see. AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine was first given the nod by the Europeans in January 2021. Within weeks, however, concerns grew about the vaccine's safety when dozens of countries suspended the use of it after unusual but rare blood clots were detected in a small number of immunized people. Just a small number. Don't worry about it. Just a small number. Partial results from the first major trial, which Britain used to authorize the vaccine, were clouded or a manufacturing mistake that researchers didn't immediately acknowledge. Insufficient data about how well the vaccine protected older people led some countries to initially restrict its use to younger populations. Then they reversed course. Billions of doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine were distributed to poorer countries throughout the UN. The UN got involved and started sending this stuff to the poor countries. What does that mean? What do you think that means when you say United Nations sends the vaccine to poor countries? Which countries do you suppose those good people at the United Nations decided to send this vaccine to? I wonder. But anyway, right now AstraZeneca said, never mind, let's just not have this in Europe. We're gonna get it out of Europe. Just a tidbit, not saying anything about it other than just it's gone in Europe. It's still here. You can help yourself to it. Here's another health-related story. Well, in a way. This comes to us from ABC News. Man purposely trying to spread HIV through sex with men and teenage boys. Sentenced to 30 years. Yes, don't look at me with that expression on your face, Mike. I just read you the headline. It says, man purposely trying to spread HIV through sex with men and teenage boys has been sentenced to 30 years in the cookery, the slammer. A 34-year-old Idaho man has been in prison for at least 30 years after purposely trying to spread HIV through sexual contact with both men and teenage boys, prosecutors say. The investigation began in August 2023 as a child enticement case, according to the prosecutor's office out there at Ada County. When Alexander Louis initially began online sexual conversations with someone he thought was a 15-year-old boy, it was actually an undercover detective. He tried to meet up with the boy for sex. He was arrested. As the investigation continued, law enforcement uncovered that Mr. Louis, who was HIV positive, was not taking his meds. He was purposely having sexual contact with both men and teenage boys, hoping to transfer HIV to them. He lied to his victims about his own HIV status. He says he had sexual intercourse with 30 to 50 different men and boys, including a 16-year-old. Well, he's going to jail, prison. And I wonder how the prison population. Well, I mean, you know, I wonder if they. Oh, we have to do traffic. Knee pads. What does he need knee pads for? We have to go to traffic, ladies and gentlemen. Lizzie Radaboli's doing traffic, and we also are going to check in with Kim Komando. Your calls are coming up 800-848-WABC. The Beatles take us in. Number one on the singles charts, 14 weeks. I Want to Hold Your Hand for 7 weeks. She Loves You for 2 weeks. Can't Buy Me Love for 5 weeks. All in 1964. Beatles on a run back in 1964 in May. Okay, traffic, Kim Komando, your calls. All of that coming up. Keep it right here. Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. Knee pads. Knee pads.
Rush.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Bo Snerdly.
On 77 WABC.
My new best lane.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Birthday today. Tony Tennille. Of course, the Captain and Tennille rocked the house back in the 80s. This one, Love Will Keep Us Together. I think this is the Neil Sedaka song. I could be wrong. They had a string of hits. Remember, Do That To Me One More Time? Yeah, Captain and Tennille. They divorced in 2014. But they had a brilliant career together. 1980. This went number one.
Do that to me one more time. Once is never enough with a man like you. Do that to me one more time. I can never get enough of a man like
you. Well, Slammy's Rush Hour here on WABC. My angel, one of my angels, Princess Di. She is amazing. She sent me a story, and I have to issue a correction. I said that you could get the AstraZeneca jab here in the States. No, you can't, because it was never authorized here in the United States. And the story that she sent me from The Hill today, AstraZeneca withdraws its COVID vaccine from the global market. It's not just Europe, my friends. They've taken the thing out. I guess that means those poor people that the UN sent it to are not going to be able to get their AstraZeneca jab now either. They'll have to get jabbed from something else. Yeah, AstraZeneca says they're taking it off the whole world. And they're blaming, slow sales. It's not selling like it should. But we're proud of it. They say they're proud of it. They claim over 6.5 million lives were saved because of it in the first year alone. I wonder to see the profit sheets on Moderna. I remember the stories of Moderna, how the top guys there became billionaires after that jab was released. So, anyway, thank you, Princess Di, for giving me the heads up on that. And no, you can't get the AstraZeneca jab here. I sent that story to Nursey Nurse earlier in the day when I first read it, the one I had, and she just sent back two words, well, three words, the clot shot. So I was, I'm making no medical claims here, disclaimer, no one's making any medical claims here, tell your lawyers to go look at somebody else. Okay. National, we're going to get to phones. We have some great calls. If you're on hold, stay there. Want to get to your calls, we'll do it shortly. I just want to mention this to you. Oh, I'm sorry. I have two stories I want to mention. Carlos, get the Fanny theme. Tell me when you have it. I got to find the story real quick. I have the story. Thank you.
Everyone is out to get my fanny. Everybody wants to see my fanny. Everybody likes to hold my fanny. But she loves no one but me. Everybody wants to see
da
my
fanny. D.A. Fanny Willis, Da Fanny, is in the news again today. Keep it there, baby. Keep that music there. A Georgia appeals court today has agreed to review a lower court ruling that allows Da Fanny to continue to persecute, well, the news story by AP says prosecute, to persecute the election interference case she brought against former President Donald Trump. So, the appeals court is going to look to see whether this woman should be taken off the case or not. Thankfully. Also, there's an editorial about Da Fanny in the New York Post.
everyone who ever.
The utter shamelessness of Donald Trump's political prosecutors really knows zero bounds. Now, Georgia's disgraced Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis has announced she rejects the rule of law. She will refuse to testify before the state Senate in Georgia as it investigates her alleged malfeasance with taxpayer money. I will not appear to anything that is unlawful, and I have not broken the law in any way, blathered Willis. A new definition of chutzpah. If Willis keeps refusing and dodges the subpoena that's almost surely forthcoming, she will be breaking the law. And the story goes. And there's your Da Fanny news. Thank you. Now, National Labor Relations Board. A judge with the National Labor Relations Board ruled last week in a case that has serious implications for free speech by employers when talking about labor unions, Democrats. Judge Brian G. found that the NLRB was correct in its assertion that certain comments made in interviews by Amazon CEO Andrew Jassy violated federal labor law. What did Jassy say that violated the law? Get this, folks. He said in an interview that union members would be better off without a union because there would be less red tape between employees and management. That's what he said. And now that is ruled against the law. He can't say it. He violated labor law. The guy that runs the company supposedly violated the law by expressing his opinion as a CEO of one of the world's biggest company that employees would be better off without a union. Oh, you can't say that. It's against the law to say that. These people on the left, you thought you had a First Amendment? You don't. There is no First Amendment when Democrats, not for business owners, not for the people that run American businesses, not for you, if you say something that Democrats don't like. Let's head to the telephones. Let's start with Margaret in Westchester County. Hello, Margaret. How are you this afternoon?
Okay, James. Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking about the Columbia graduation. I graduated in 1976 from Columbia. I was in the health field. I am in the health field. So I was on the health care campus, in the uptown campus. But our graduation was on the main campus. It was huge. Our family really couldn't see us. It was kind of boring, to tell you the truth. But before that, they had us a very nice lunch. It was a sit-down lunch, like a chicken dinner, whatever. And with our family, the people we were able to invite, our family, our friends. And I'm thinking, you know, if these students graduate with each of their classes and they have something smaller, I think it might be more intimate, more heartfelt, more meaningful. They're going to probably think for the rest of their lives that they missed something, but I don't think they really are.
Interesting. Of course, I never graduated from Columbia. Don't know what it's like. You have. So we'll take what you say to heart. I mean, and that's what, by the way, what you were what you had is what the university president and the university said they're going to do. They're going to have smaller ceremonies with just with smaller groups instead of the big shindig where the pro-Hamas protesters can come and disrupt everything. So, Margaret, things might work out. That's a very good call. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great day. Let's quickly turn to Sandra in New Jersey. Sandra, how are you? Welcome.
Oh, thank you, James. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, you played the song earlier, Love Will Keep Us Together. Well, that's exactly what I'm praying for with Melania and Donald Trump. I hope during this difficult time, Melania doesn't get swayed by the evil and just sticks with Donald Trump through this, and in the end, it's going to be beautiful again. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, how nice of you to pray for former First Lady. That Melania Trump was totally, totally disrespected the entire time she was in office by the national press that fawns all over Democrat first ladies like Hillary and Michelle Obama. But she has earned, she is a class act, and she has earned so much goodwill for the great work that she has done and for also her classiness. So I'm sure that those prayers are very deeply appreciated, Sandra. Thank you for sharing that with us. We have to check in with Lou Dobbs. We'll do that. We'll come back, grab some more of your calls. There's always more news. We'll get to as many stories as we can. Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour here on WABC. Carlos, who's this? Did you pull out who I think you pulled out?
This is Herb Alpert, A Taste of Honey.
You did. This reminds me of like the 60s dating. Yeah, we're playing that because Jerry Moss, the record executive, the co-founder of A&M Records, was born this day. He was the partner of Herb Alpert, who you're hearing now with A Taste of Honey. WABC, time to check in with Lou Dobbs. Your call's coming up. Keep it right here.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdley.
Bo Snerdley.
On 77 WABC.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdley.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdley.
Rush.
The bumper selections today with a little one from, well, a big one, Smash Hit. From the Way of the World album, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Philip Bailey's birthday today. Happy birthday, Philip Bailey, on WABC.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdley, presents Rapid Phones.
And Gracie. Hi, my darling. How are you doing, Gracie?
I'm wonderful. Well, first, thank you so much for keeping the greatest Luan alive with the Bo Rush Hour. Now, I'm in California visiting my son, so I went to the supermarket to get the milk in a gallon and the orange juice in a gallon. You know, they have the nerve to add another 10 cents for each of those things. Now, I have no idea where you're supposed to redeem them. Even when you redeem soda cans, it's not like in New York, you go to the supermarket, there's a machine. You got to go to some building to recycle them. All they want is money. The gas, $5.75 in one place, $5.98 in another. I don't know how these dummies here don't revolt.
Well, they're trying to take control of it, and that's that fight in their Supreme Court right now. And the Democrats, the unions, the activists, no, by no means let people have control of taxes. They don't deserve to have any governance, any say in the way that they live. These people believe that they are the monarchs, and the working and the people that live in California are the peasants. Gracie, it's always great to hear from you. Thank you. Let's go to Ethan in Florida. Ethan, how are you today?
So I left New York. I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
Good.
And I think the most apropos song for that you should really play is The Animals. We want to get out of this place if it's the last thing we ever do.
Great suggestion. Thank you. Got to move on. Frank in Long Island, you are up next. How are you?
Not too bad. How about you, sir?
Good, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I think that it's incumbent upon these universities to make sure that they maintain the integrity of their college institution, which means every single professor they hire has to sign a contract. It's incumbent upon them to make sure their students come up with a solution to the problem instead of become part of it. So these people who are radicalizing the students should be held responsible. The students who break the law should be brought back into the college after they've broken the law and brought before a board, a review board of their own peers, to come up with a solution. If these professors are so smart to get them all radicalized, they could also be so smart to help the world come up with solutions to the problem instead of helping everybody else burn it down.
Interesting. I think that these people that are breaking the law should be sent to jail, suspended, not ever visit the school again under any circumstances. Done. You're done. You broke the law. You're out. Let us go to Tom in Manhattan. Thank you for waiting, Tom. What's on your mind this afternoon? Tom is not there. Russ?
Here.
Oh, well, quick. You got to make it quick. What's on your mind?
City councils approved $47 billion to build skyscrapers in Washington Heights to house the immigrants. $47 billion.
Welcome to New York. New York loves, quote unquote, migrants. Democrat Party at work. Man, I wanted to get to Russ today, but we can't. He has something on unions I want to hear about later. Anyway, we got to go. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you. God willing, back tomorrow for Thursday's edition of Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour. Until then, we bid you adieu. Goodbye.